Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
Hey, welcome, everybody. The question is, to impeach or not to impeach? Welcome to Politics with a Cup of Coffee, or several cups of coffee, is it? Where Nancy Pelosi is speaking as I speak to you. And I'm watching it live on television. I will let you know what she says, but my guess is she's going to say they are going to schedule an impeachment vote in the House. Okay? What does that mean to us here in Oregon? Is it going to have an impact on anything that we care about here right now? Anything that really affects our livelihood? Our ability to live the American dream, our ability to be at peace with ourselves as people. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because the old saying that all politics is local, well, that used to be true, but it isn't anymore. It isn't anymore because of technology and news media, alternative media, talk radio, shows like this. It's different now. It really is. I mean, in the old days when you had, just the three networks and you had some radio, but radio, there wasn't conservative right-wing talk radio as it is known. None of that. You could get by with saying all politics is local because most people's frame of reference in politics is what's going on around them. You know, with the advent of radio, you can go back and think to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's fireside chats right around the radio. I mean, America tuned in. I mean, obviously, we were at war, and, this was a form of communication that was incredibly important. We didn't have television back then. They had radio. And then you went to the age of television, what an incredible phenomenon it was in that something about television that captures your mind. And then just expand all of that to where we are today with the internet and Twitter and everything being wireless and, the 24-hour news cycle and cable news and all of these things. Today, all politics is not local. Now, when a nation goes to war, like, say, during World War II, well, national politics and how we approach those things clearly impacts how people think and how they act, how they move forward. So now we have this circumstance where local politics is really being trumped in so many ways without, getting beyond something I should say. It's being trumped by national politics and what's going on. Now, Pelosi is building up here. She's saying the president leaves us no choice but to act. Well, of course, they're going to impeach this president. I have said this to you all along. They're not going to do a censure vote. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's going to say that here, but everything that she's building up that I'm reading here is on the Chiron is just quite the opposite. So how does this impact us in our world, right? Well, I will tell you that, the impact of this is not so much on the Republican Party as it is the Democrat Party. Because the impact of it on the Democrats in local elections here in Oregon and in other places is... Well, it's going to be profound because of the unaffiliated voters. The unaffiliated voters here. So she's saying that she's asking for the articles of impeachment. Okay? She's had to do this. You can't back away. She's gone too far down the road. All right, so what's the real impact on this? Not just in national elections and yeah, all of that's important. There's no question about it. But what about here in Oregon? What about in places like, swing districts? Where the number of retirements in the Oregon legislature how the Oregon legislature goes matters. It matters to each and every one of you. I go back to not just the $3.9 billion in new taxes that the Oregon legislature passed in the last session that adds $2,300 in 2020 to the cost of every family in the state. A family of four is going to pay about $2,300 more. Now, most people can't afford that, but it doesn't matter. These people are going to go ahead and do it anyway. And they did do it. Now, the question is there enough political backlash from that with a certain group of people that could be tied to the craziness of this impeachment vote? Because this is all going to impact Democrats' ability to spin the impeachment with a certain group of people. And those are those unaffiliated voters. Those are those people that are in these swing districts. Such as this story in the Willamette Week, which, you, by the way, you can see this if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. This is about the timber unity effort. They concede that they failed to get enough signatures to recall this new freshman Democrat, far-left liberal state representative, Tiffany Mitchell. Now, she's from Astoria in, you know, that area up there, okay? There's an awful lot of timber folks up there. And they decided because of her vote in the House in favor of cap and trade, cap and tax, that Timber Unity was going to begin this effort to get her recalled. Now, they needed 4,883 signatures, and they needed to get that in 90 days, ending on December 4th. Now, they're not saying how many signatures they actually got, but we expect that it obviously wasn't enough to turn them in. In having led a, I led a recall effort against State Senator Floyd Prezansky, who's a guy that I served with in the House when I was in the House of Representatives from 99 through early 2007. In fact, I gave Floyd his first ever hearing about legalizing hemp, of all things, in Oregon. At any rate, you know, he's the one who passed Senate Bill 941, which does, in fact, infringe on your Second Amendment rights. And for that, the folks at OFF, Oregonians Firearm Federation, Oregon Firearm Federation, decided that it was time to mount a recall petition. I led that effort, and we barely failed. And we turned in our signatures, and we barely missed it, like 230 votes. Okay. So, and it's a tough thing because you have to make the case that this person has done something so bad that now we need to have a revote. Now, this is different than what's happening with this impeachment process because Oregon doesn't have impeachment. All you have is recall. Now, in some ways, by the way, we're the only state in the union that doesn't have impeachment. All 49 other states have an impeachment process. I know, because I tried to introduce the bill, as other representatives have behind me, to establish an impeachment process in Oregon. But you can't. We've never been able to get it passed. So, okay. So, Tiffany Mitchell voted against so many of the working families and the rural folks of her district. And she did it because she was, I'm sure, two things usually happens, and you need to understand how this process works. When you are a freshman legislator in a swing district, and this is still a swing district, even though it has a slight Democrat voter registration advantage, okay? You are sensitive to voting the wrong way, and your leadership should make you sensitive, should be worried about this, should be constantly giving you some grace and helping engineer the opportunity for you to vote? No. But this woman chose not to. Why? Because they have judged, and this is the other thing, is your leadership will make a judgment as the representative will. And believe me, when you're a freshman legislator, I can tell you from past experience, You're in a daze, number one. It's a total fog because it's incredibly busy. You've never experienced anything like this before unless you've served as a staffer previously. And some people that get elected do that, but most of us don't. I didn't. I did not know how busy it was going to be. So you're in a fog, and you're relying on other people to give you good advice, especially your leadership. And your leadership wouldn't let you take a bad vote for your district because they want you to come back. They don't want to lose your seat. That's how it works. But they're also listening to the people that helped get you elected. And I'm not talking about the people that voted for you. I'm talking about the far left, regressive, totalitarian, Marxist organizations that fund the Democrat campaigns. The SEIU, the AFSCME, the radical environmental community, the trial lawyers, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Her leadership, no doubt, and this is how the conversation would have taken place. She would have gone to her, or in caucus, they would have talked about all of you that are from swing districts. We need your vote. We need your vote because some of you cannot vote for this. Some of you Democrats can't and won't vote for it. Out of principle, believe it or not, there were some that did that. In this case, she's a freshman legislator. She voted for cap and trade because either her leadership judged it they had to, like Nancy Pelosi's got to schedule this impeachment vote because of the radical far left part that has taken over the Democrat Party nationally and certainly here in Oregon, right? Well, same deal. It's the same thing that Tina Kotek would have had to have judged. You know, Tiffany, you got to vote for this thing because the environmentalists tell us how high we have to jump on the way up. That's what happens, folks. And it happens on our side. And it did happen on our side when we were in control, we Republicans. So it's the same deal, right? So here's the deal. Timber Unity took that and tried to make a case that this representative had to be recalled. That what she had done, this vote was so bad that they had to get her recalled. They had to at least put it to a vote. Now, here's the problem with that, is that usually recall efforts fail because of how they do them, number one, not having enough money, number two, because you have to spend some money here. You can't just do it with volunteers. It's extremely rare. I mean, you have to be caught in some incredibly bad public, you had to have said something incredibly bad or be caught in some compromising thing that makes the news, without getting into too much detail, for a citizen effort to really work. So Timber Unity has failed. They didn't make the case to enough people. So what does that mean for the grassroots efforts in Oregon from our side of the equation? Well, I'm going to share with you what I think it means when we come back from this break. And another thing, how do you think this impeachment vote is going to play in the future with the persuadable voters in Oregon? It's 6:20 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Thanks for listening to Politics over a cup of coffee, because we need to contemplate how all of these things that are happening nationally and right here in Oregon impact and affect our world. And what we can do about it. You know, the thing about talk radio that I find interesting, and I'm a talk radio host, but I'm also a talk radio devotee, shall we say. And maybe we'll get into this in a later show, but, you know, an activist, I find it interesting in that talk radio is an outlet that is incredibly powerful because it has such an ability to influence how we think. But it's also an opportunity for us, you and I, to call into a show and express our opinion. Now, you can't do that with a television show. I mean, you can't do it with, you can certainly do it with, at least to some extent, with, you know, online social media, at least if it's live anyway. But talk radio affords us an opportunity to talk about these things and explore them in detail. But even more importantly, its impact has not been tapped. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what I mean. And it has relates to the story about Timber Unity being, well, failing to get enough signatures to put Tiffany Mitchell to a revote. And it absolutely plays into what's going on the national stage with the impeachment of Trump. And here's what it is. Why would I say that talk radio hasn't reached its potential? And I'll tell you why. Because most talk radio hosts do not encourage or push their audience to be active, to go do something about it. Now, Rush Limbaugh is still number one. Sean Hannity is right there at a number two point. Hannity is a little more activist-oriented. Levin is, Glenn Beck was, but Beck shot himself in the foot so badly for, you know, opposing Trump. He missed it entirely. And he's paid a deep price for it, and he should. I mean, you can't utilize this medium and miss it so badly and not have it just impact your audience and your ability to influence people. Limbaugh is finally getting to where I think this industry needs to go. And I mean it. This industry of talk radio. It is so unique. It is so profound. You know what he's starting to do? It's what he said. And I shared this with you some time ago. It's what I've been pushing you to. All of this that we talk about on talk radio, none of it matters if you don't do something about it. That's the truth of it, friends. You have to do something about it. None of it matters. It's all just noise. It really is. Yeah, I mean, it's fine to be informed and to get a perspective and to listen to other people's perspectives, but not if you don't use it. Use it how? To stand up for your principles and values. What's important to you? What you believe in? Because believe me, the people on the other side, the ideological spectrum, they believe this stuff. They believe it so badly that they're willing to, well, look at Antifa. Look at the people that destroy people's private property. Of course, they're not held accountable for it by and large. They're willing to destroy your private property. They're willing to try to stop oil trains, right? These people are committed. So that's why I ask you the question about, first of all, how do you feel empowered? What would empower you? What would move you to stand and fight and pledge your honor, your fortune, and your life for liberty? You're probably saying, hey, look, we don't need to do that. We've already gone down that road. Really? Have we? Look at this kangaroo court that's happened in Washington, D.C. with this impeachment process. That's, again, folks, there are people. Limbaugh said this the other day, and he was relating this story. And I need to share this with you because it really just reinforced my thinking that none of this means anything unless you and I try to use it to change our world. Here's what he said. He talked about over the weekend he was with some liberal rich people. Now, Limbaugh circulates in those circles because of who he is and because he's become rich by doing what he does. And that's fine. He circulates with people. He shared the story with how these people did not know of all the actual factual details about this witch hunt against Trump. And that after he shared it with them, it didn't matter. They still believed in what they believed because they had been influenced by the media that they listened to and the echo chamber that these people reside in. Okay. And what was profound about that to me was what Limbaugh said is that it didn't matter. He laid out to the facts to them, chapter and verse, about some of these issues. They didn't know it, and it didn't matter. They still wanted to get rid of Trump. They are not the persuadables. There are people in the middle who are. And there's a lot of them in Oregon. And they are people, some of them are people in your world, whatever that world is. This is why it's so important. This is why Limbaugh said the other day, admitted, none of this matters unless you do something with it. So what are you going to do with it? Well, when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, I'm going to share with you a nugget of, well, in this Willamette Week story about Timber Unity not getting enough signatures to recall Tiffany Mitchell, because she points the way, Tiffany Mitchell does, in her own statement, her news release about the Timber Unity effort failing. I'm going to tell you what that is. Where she knows she's vulnerable in a particular way. We're going to get into that when we come back, because it's important for us. All of this is, well, it's making a difference in people's thinking. A lot of it depends on you. What are you going to do? 6:30 in the morning. We'll be back in the morning.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Welcome back, friends. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how the impeachment circus might, well, impact Oregon politics. Specifically in swing districts, legislative districts, but it'll also filter down, believe me, it'll filter down to county commissions, school boards, all of those things. And I'm going to share with you in a moment about, well, the failure of Timber Unity to get enough signatures to put to a vote a recall of state representative, freshman, new, far-left Democrat Tiffany Mitchell. Out in the Astoria, up in that area, which is a lot of timber country. And how she literally, as she writes a press release and sends it out, how she literally points the way how to defeat her and gives us the arguments. I'm going to share that with you. In just a moment. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I use CBD oil products because they work for me, friends. Maybe they'll work for you. And I think you ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care in South Salem, right on South Commercial, right next to Safeway. Now, they sell CanaShield, and CanaShield really is a very, very high-quality product. It's a brand of products, creams, tinctures, which I put under my tongue. Put it under my tongue last night before I went to bed, and I slept great. Now, it works for me. And I think, you know, maybe if you have aches and pains and you don't want to necessarily maybe take prescription drugs or other things, you ought to try CBD oil products. You can go to their website, vimsalem.com, V-I-M, vimsalem.com, and you can learn a lot more about it or just stop by and see them again on South Commercial. That's Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care, next to Safeway on South Commercial. Here's the way to defeat somebody that is, in this case, Tiffany Mitchell, in her statement about the failure of Timber Unity, specifically, to get enough signatures to put her to a recall vote of the citizens. Now, she didn't win by a lot. This is the other thing you got to understand. And this is one of the reasons they targeted her. But she put out a statement. And here's what she said. Quote, "I'm pleased to be able to continue working on the issues that matter here on the North Coast," unquote. Now, that's not the part of the statement that, well, shows the way to how to defeat her. Here's the part that does. Quote, "Families in this district know that I'm fighting every day to listen to them and to help protect their future. I appreciate that they know I'll always stand up for what's right," unquote. Let's break that down for a moment. The first thing that you notice about this is that I guarantee you that this is exactly what she's being accused of not doing. First of all, hurting families. Now, nobody likes that. That's a negative. That's a big negative. Okay? She's very sensitive to that. Otherwise, she wouldn't mention it. And she certainly wouldn't mention that she's fighting every day. Now, that's a curious statement. Fighting every day to listen to them. It was no doubt was one of the other things that she was hearing that the Timber Unity folks were saying in the community as they were gathering signatures to put her to a recall vote, that she was saying they weren't listening to them. And I'm sure that they probably had specific examples where they went and met with her prior to her vote in favor of cap and tax. And they're saying and accusing her of not listening to them. But it's a curious thing for her to say that she's fighting every day to listen to them. Who is she fighting and how is she fighting? I mean, it's a curious thing. Now, I can tell you from my personal experience being a member of the House of Representatives, I've served 8 years in the House from 1999 to early 2007. It's a curious thing. I didn't have to fight every day to listen to my constituents. All I had to do was answer the phone or answer emails or read letters or, frankly, go out and go to city council meetings, which I did, school board meetings, which I did, town hall meetings, which I held. None of that I had to fight for because nobody was trying to stop me from it. This is a nonsensical statement. But I continue. She's sensitive to the issue of hurting families and not listening to them, because those are the things she was being accused of. And then she says, and to help protect their future. Now, everybody, this is why hope and change was such a powerful message. It was a lie, of course, because it was regressive in its nature, as you know. But it was a powerful message, hope. Hope is a powerful thing, and it's in the Bible, friends. As part of human nature, you always want to have hope. Hope for what? Well, hope for the future, your family's future, in a larger measure, if you're larger thinking than just your family, you're thinking about the hope and the future of a nation, which is what our founders did, which, by the way, Nancy Pelosi invoked as she began her comments, which was fascinating. But to help protect their future, using the word protect is powerful, and future, because it has to do with hope. It has to do with what we as people want for our families. Again, you tie all of this up. This is liberal non-speak. But yet it points the way how to successfully go after this person. to say you're fighting every day to listen to families is a stupid thing to say. But to say you're fighting every day to protect their future is not a stupid thing to say. Now, this clearly shows what she's sensitive to. She would not have mentioned these things, because I guarantee you she didn't write this. You know where this came from? This came from the PR department of the Speaker of the House. Okay? She was the only Democrat member being targeted for a recall, by the way. All right? So this was kind of a test case. They were watching it closely. This came out of the PR department. They are saying, they are admitting, otherwise they wouldn't say this, they're admitting that the key is to use the issue of her not listening to them as a big deal. And that the accusation that she would do anything that would hurt families is another big deal. And that protecting their future, because that's what Timber Unity is talking about, destroying a rural economy, destroying an entire way of life. Friends, I can tell you as a fifth-generation Oregon farmer that being a farmer is not a job. Being a logger is not a job. It is a way of life. Being a rancher is not a job. It's a way of life. When you work with the land, friends, you are doing it. There's a connection to what you do that is not just a job. I guarantee you, in the natural resource industry, which is what these things are, if you view it as a job, you're not going to be very successful with it. Because it takes, you can't let it go at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't work that way. Because when the crop has to be brought in, and there's rain coming, you don't quit at five. You keep going. This is different than if you work for the state of Oregon or Marion County or Salem, or if you work for a private employer. It's very different. So Tiffany Mitchell has said and shown by her press release, has pointed the way to how she could be successfully attacked. Now, what would have to happen is that in the next election, whoever runs against her has to portray her votes, how she actually voted, how she actually refused to listen to the Timber Unity people or the rural people, has to portray that as damaging. Now, that's a negative thing. This is not an easy or positive thing to do. She has to be successfully portrayed as someone who would not listen to families, and who says she's fighting to protect their future, but actually votes differently. She actually voted to destroy their future. And she says in the last part of her statement, I appreciate that they know I'll always stand up for what's right. If voting to destroy your future with cap and trade or any other crazy ideas, like maybe giving free health care to illegal aliens, voting to give free abortions to illegal aliens. How's that right? Well, only if we, you and I, who are in her sphere of in her district, know people who are persuadable. Only if we point that out to them will it be an effective moving people's hearts. Say, no, this woman doesn't. I don't care what she's saying. She's doing the opposite. Which is typical of what left-wing can do. As I say, not as I do. Yeah, isn't that a song?
Stop the car, we gotta move.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. We're going to go to the phones in a moment. Just a couple of emails for you. Corby, thanks for a very nice email. And I'm not going to read you what he wrote. But I'm just going to tell you folks that I'm humbled and I mean it when people write the kind of things that Corby did. And I appreciate it. And I take it seriously. In fact, I take my role in influencing people's lives, in this case, through a radio show. I take this more seriously today than I ever have. I've been in talk radio since I started filling in for Lars. That was 2003. It was just before we went to war, which is how I got into that. But I take this very seriously. And I'm glad to hear that Limbaugh is finally getting to the place of saying and realizing how important it is that his audience actually does something about it. Yeah, I know he's become wealthy and he is who he is. And I'm deeply appreciative of everything he's done and blazing the trail for all of us. But he has been wrong all these years to say that he didn't want his audience to do things like, you know, call in and shut down the White House lines or Congress's lines. No, that's exactly what we need to be doing. That was the genius of the Timber Unity Movement, going to the Capitol and scaring the living daylights out of the Democrats. With that massive rally, with all the 2,000 log trucks and farm tractors and all of that, that was real. That's why I take this seriously. Because I want you to do something to make your world better. Got to give it away. And that brings me, and guys, you guys on the line, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in just a second. This is an important email. I want to read this from Christopher. Said, you are discussing how you have nothing if you don't give it away. It reminded me of something. I'm a recovering alcoholic and just had my 9th year of sobriety on November the 23rd. One thing that was drilled into me, by the way, Chris, awesome. Congrats to you. It's a tough thing, man. I know. I've got it in my family. I know. One thing he writes, it was drilled in me is this. You'll lose what you don't give away. In other words, share it with anyone, anytime. But don't be deterred when they don't get it. Because it means they aren't ready. Something hasn't happened to make them want to see what feels to be right. Well said, Chris. Well said. Awesome. To the phones, we're going to start first with Art and then on to Bruce. Art, good morning. Hey, Art. I can't hear Art. Are you there? Okay. Well, I guess since we can't hear Art, let's try to move on to Bruce. Mr. Producer, if we can. Unless, of course, we're having some weird thing with the phones again. Well, all right. So while we're trying to get them, here's another email from my buddy, Lee.
Jeff, are you there?
There we are. There's Bruce. All right.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if you switched to me or not. So, yeah, I'm calling in. I just want to make sure, I'm assuming your audience knows about the Timber Unity event that's going to be occurring February 6th at 7 a.m. Timber Unity is having a rally at the Capitol inviting everybody to get there, and that is a weekday at 7 a.m.
Yeah, it's a Thursday. It happens to be Ronald Reagan's birthday, and Bruce, I'm going to talk about it every day.
Yeah, great.
And I'm going to—I don't mean to be a broken record, Bruce, to everybody else, but I'm telling you this: it's critical that we show up. And you know what I'm thinking about doing, Bruce? I'm thinking about broadcasting live this show, maybe on an expanded show from the Capitol that day. What do you think about that?
That's a great idea. You know, I'm finding out that my race, I'm running in House District 17 to be the next representative for Eastern Marion and Linn County, the North and South Santiam Canyons. And I'm finding out that this primary race is going to be the most contested primary race in Oregon. So I appreciate your prayers. I continue to post on Facebook and let people know who I am. And, you know, as we get into next year, we'll be going door to door. But yeah, this Timber Unity thing is crucial to shut down this cap and trade deal again.
And it is, and it's even beyond that, Bruce. I mean, it's bringing together new people, new to the political process, and bringing in people who are with us on other things and forming a powerful political alliance for a lot of other things, like the ability to protect our Second Amendment rights and other things, parental rights. I mean, it's deeper than just Timber Unity, but it is proper for us to use Timber Unity as the right vehicle to get that done. Bruce, thanks. But by the way, quickly, how can people learn more about your candidacy?
My website is www.timeforcuff.org, and that's the number 4, timeforcuff.org. And I'm also on Facebook. If you just look, Bruce Cuff or Constitutional Conservative Leaders in Oregon.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Bruce. I need to move on to Ann. Ann, good morning. Thanks for calling. And what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Jeff. If we don't stand for something, we stand for nothing. The cap-and-trade communistic policies is a danger to all of us. This affects all races, all political affiliations. And regarding timber unity, people in the urban cities need to understand that an attack on farmers, ranchers, and loggers is an attack on them. People who live in the cities are considered consumers, and ranchers, farmers, and loggers are producers. So imagine the Portland area cordoned off without getting any food coming in, any clothing, any furniture, any paper products. The people need to understand that we need to pull together because it affects all of the Oregon citizens, not just the rural communities, though this is huge.
It is, and my point about all of that, and you're so right on, Ann, is that the only way that the average person living in an urban area who votes for these people that put these policies, bad policies in place, the only way they're ever going to understand it, because they're not going to hear it from the news media.
No.
The way they're going to understand it, Ann, is if you and I influence those people.
Exactly. And they got to, and people always want to know, well, how is this going to affect me? Well, it affects just pretty much the basics, life, you know, food, water, clothing. You know, they need to understand that the people in the rural areas, they work very hard. They're manual labor. This America, our America, was built on manual labor from all races. I'm a longtime farmer and rancher, and I have families that go back generations and generations. And people got to understand that it takes hard work. It takes sacrifice. This just doesn't happen by sitting on our laurels and doing nothing.
Well said. Ann, thank you so much for calling. I'm a fifth-generation Oregon farmer. I get it, and you're right. We have to help the people in the urban areas to understand and to get it. I got a great email from Lee. I'm going to have to read you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for joining us today. I am honored, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, to have each and every one of you listening. Be blessed. Make it a great day. See you tomorrow.